Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, we got the window open this time. Let's let people really hear what the brown line sounds like.
Chugga chugga choo choo.
You know, we'll let the brown line run one time with the window open. Give people the real deal, and then we'll shut her down. How about that, huh? That sounds like fun.
Okay.
Oh, here's the train.
Wait,
all right, guys.
Hold on. Here it comes. Driving the train.
All right. Listen to this, guys. This is how it sounds when the windows are open.
Yeah.
Usually the windows are closed. Holy cow.
Hey, like, Rom, there he is. I'm smart, you're not.
Sounds like Six Flags or something. All right, so we're going to shut the window now.
I kind of like the train, but all right.
That sounds like crap. The Ben Jarofsky Show for Friday, April 3rd, is brought to you in part by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 126 and District 8. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, are sponsors, as well as the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. Thanks, unions. You guys are awesome. Of course, today's Ben Jarofsky Show is also brought to you in part by our good friends at the Chicago Federation of Labor. I know Brianna on the live stream chat says no singing, but, well, Ben Jarofsky, please. Yep. Song of the day.
Yep, yep. Dum, 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 dum. I love you. I'm happier than the morning sun. Oh, wait. I got to say a shout out to Bill Withers. He died. Do you know who Bill Withers is?
Yes. The Ben Jarofsky Show starts now.
How do you know who Bill Withers is?
It is Friday, April 3rd, and live from Ben's house, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. Today on the program, it's another cannabis conversation with Lisa Solomon and Stephen Goff. And now your host. You would think every day would be a cannabis conversation with him, but he hasn't smoked marijuana since 1979.
Actually, it would be 1980 or 81. I can't remember because I was stoned at the time.
Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Jimmy Dore Friday, and here's why. But before I get to that, let me have a moment of silence. I just remembered when I was saying that Bill Withers died. I loved Bill Withers, one of my favorite singers of the 70s. So just a moment of silence for the great Bill Withers. Dee, I give you credit for even knowing who he is because he hasn't had a pop hit in a long time. But Bill Withers, hold on. Just a 5-second moment of silence for one of my favorite singers of all time, Bill Withers. There we go. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Jimmy Dore Friday, and here's why. Because I'm feeling very Jimmy Dore-like today. An explanation? Jimmy Dore is the left, very left of center podcast host of a show called the Jimmy Dore Show.
That's correct.
Title. Thank you, Robert Mueller. Anyway, back in the old days, remember these good old days, Dennis and I would drive home from the studio. Sometimes we'd be driving. Dennis would be driving, heading down the road, and we'd be listening to the Jimmy Dore Show on Dennis's phone. And it was a highlight. Huh? Remember those good old days, Dee, when we'd be driving home? Yesterday, all my troubles. Anyway, I'm not going to sing anymore today.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I listened to a lot of Jimmy Dore with Dennis. I got mixed feelings about Jimmy Dore. On one hand, he's really, really hard on centrist Democrats. And in fact, he's pretty much hard on any Democrat not named Bernie Sanders or Tulsi Gabbard. He loves Tulsi Gabbard, people.
I heard someone say that about you the other day.
Who? Yeah, I was gonna say, really? I don't think so. I'm not a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard. Anyway, as such, he's always pointing out the hypocrisies, the inconsistencies, the do what I say, not as I do, deviousness of centrist Democrats. Even people like Elizabeth Warren, he's really hard on Elizabeth Warren. So, you know, I got mixed feelings when I hear this. I'm driving down the road with D, and I'm listening to him ripping Democrats. And he's doing it from the left, okay? He's a guy on the left, so he's not a right-winger ripping Democrats. He's a left-winger ripping Democrats. So he's going at them right at where they're most vulnerable to people like me. So, like I said, I have mixed feelings when I hear this. On the one hand, I'm like, Jimmy, you know, you got to be so hard on him? I mean, you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat, so it's like... I can't remember the last time I voted Republican at the moment. It'll come to me in a moment, but it's been a long, long time since I voted voted Republican. So I pretty much, you know, I vote for the lesser of two evils more often than not. I have this instinctual need to push the ballot after, you know, anybody with a D next to their name. So, you know, Jimmy, do you have to be so hard on the Dems? You're making it that hard, much harder for the Dem to win. And that's like the inner Democrat in me is saying that. Hey, you know, I'm worried you're turning off Bernie bros. Bernie supporters, you know? And, you know, come on, Jimmy, be nicer. And then the other hand, you know, there's part of me, D, that inner lefty that's saying, you know, he's right. Jimmy Dore is right. Who's the other guy that's with Jimmy Dore, by the way? Do you remember his name? The guy who looks like our friend?
No, I don't know. Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Jimmy Dore has a assistant or sidekick, whatever you want to call him, who chimes in from time to time, looks just like our good friend Chris Rogge. Anyway, so this is, you know, I've torn over Jimmy Dore because more often than not, I have to concede he has a very good point if he's not absolutely right. So this is just my way of saying, folks, that I'm feeling very Jimmy Dore today in regards to The View. Now, we talked about this yesterday. The View had Bernie Sanders on as a guest, and we did a whole riff yesterday. We played bits and pieces of the interview, their questions, etc. And, you know, ordinarily I would move on, but I haven't been able to shake it. It's like I'm walking down the street thinking about The View's interview with Bernie. I'm like talking to people that, did you hear The View's interview with Bernie? It's typical me. I get obsessed with things. You know how I get. And, you know, it's just like that interview said more about The View and the implicit biases they have than it did about a Bernie Sanders. And the moment in that interview that just sticks with me the most to this, it's like I haven't been able to shake it, is when one of the hosts, I can't remember which one it was asking Bernie, and she said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact quote. Dennis is moving around over here. She's paraphrasing. Some people said you're using COVID-19 epidemic as an excuse to get Congress to pass Medicare for all. You know, I still can't get over that. Again, the implicit assumption is that there is something wrong with making sure that people have health care. I mean, I could see, you know, if she was saying that some people are saying that you are using COVID-19, the pandemic, to, let's say, get a contract for your brother-in-law who has a mask-making company, or a company that will have a mask-making company contract, or your brother-in-law who has nothing to do with mask-making, but you're going to get him a contract even just to get him money. I mean, in other words, like inside training. I could see her being upset and outraged and want to ask about an obvious example of him exploiting a crisis for his own personal benefit, or for the own personal benefit of someone in his family. But this is different. This is like she's questioning the sanity of whether he should use the pandemic as a reason to give people something that they need. Like, they need healthcare right now. Because we're sick. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And our crazy healthcare system is largely based on your ability to have a job. You get your healthcare by and large through your employment. If you don't have a job, guess what? You don't have healthcare. So people need healthcare now more than anything else. This is the exact example of why we need a Medicare for all plan. And in terms of like the issue of how much it cost, I mean, are we really going to argue this? Congress just passed a $2 trillion bailout bill. No discussion. It's like, hurry up, get it passed. There's got another one right around the corner. So for some reason, we're still fixated on that old conversation of whether we can afford something that we absolutely need. But it's like this bias is so deeply rooted in the minds of centrist Democrats. That's like this instinct that they have to be against something that most of the people in their party want. But for some reason or another, they think they can't win if they champion a value that Democrats are supposed to believe in. They can't win unless they sell out the value, the very values and the things they're supposed to be espousing. It's like we've been brainwashed by years of Republican commercials to be against the very things we're supposed to be for. And so there's this question, like Bernie is on the defensive because he is arguing on behalf of a service that everybody needs. It's like, well, there are people, there are critics who say you're using the COVID epidemic to pass healthcare for all. What's your response for that? It's not an excuse to pass healthcare for all. It's the reason we need healthcare for all. D, I'm utterly obsessed with this. Like I said, I've been thinking about this ever since I heard that bit. I've been going around talking. I call people on the phone. Did you hear The View? Oh, no, Ben. I'm watching Tiger King. Did you hear The View? By the way, I haven't forgotten Tiger King. We're going to be discussing Tiger King later today, D. Anyway, so I got to tell you, folks, I mean, I'm trying not to be too Jimmy Dore-like. I'm trying to say, you know, at some point you have to make a compromise with your, like, values, if you will. You know what I mean? You have to agree to, you have to concede that you're not going to get everything you want. The train, D, but the windows are closed. Yes, there goes the train. So I understand that sometimes you're not going to get everything you want, and sometimes you have to settle on candidates that you don't really agree with. And it looks as though the Democrats are determined to stick with Joe Biden, even though he's a very weak candidate, to put it mildly. I understand that. I understand that at some point I have to decide perhaps between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and I will definitely vote for Joe Biden. Definitely vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. But I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think that we as Democrats, and I say this as a lifelong Democrat, we as Democrats should continually sell out the things we're supposed to believe in the most. And so, yes, I like to say I'm having my Jimmy Dore moment. We got a great show today, everybody. Lisa Solomon here. Cannabis conversation. We'll continue the conversation. By the way, cannabis sales are up. I don't know if you saw this, D, in the Sun Times. Very strong. No surprise there. People freaking out. They need to medicate themselves. They need to relax and calm down. So we're having a cannabis conversation.
All right.
With the great Lisa Solomon. And plenty of political talk ahead of us. But first, the man, the myth, the legend, the pride and joy of Alton, Illinois, the man they call the doctor, with the news.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy Friday. All right. Let's go to the live stream chat before we move on here. Shout out to our good friend Kyle. Kyle says, no, not a fan of, he did this in periods, not period, a fan of Jimmy Dore.
Yeah, I hear you, Kyle. I get you. I understand exactly what you're saying. I have my moments. Dennis and I would listen to him and I would go, D, I don't know. He's really being unfair, particularly to Elizabeth Warren. Right, D? I mean, that's what I would say. I don't know.
So nihilistic and apathetic. Used to listen to him, but he really doesn't seem to believe in anything but trying to make a buck.
Well, okay. First of all, you know, you got to make a buck. So there's that. He does believe in Tulsi Gabbard. He loves Tulsi Gabbard. But, you know, I see your point. You know, I got my issues with him. So, but I'm just saying there's sometimes I get the feeling that the centrist Democrats have left reality or they've moved too far to the right. And that's when I have these Jimmy Dore moments. That's what I'm getting at. But I see your point. Yes, he gets to be very nihilistic sometimes. On the other hand, he did this great riff about the Obama Center. Remember that one, D? I don't know if I may have watched that on my own.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And it was a great riff. He was pointing out about, he was talking, doing a whole thing on gentrification of the South Side. Jimmy Dore's from Chicago. He hasn't lived there in a while. Anyway, so yes, every now and then I have my Jimmy Dore moments, but I can understand, you know, how some people, he might rub some people the wrong way.
All right. And shout out to Pat Rod. Pat Rod says, he was talking about the interview with Bernie. Some people are saying you're using a global pandemic to push for healthy humans. Why do you hate disease, Bernie?
That sums it up. That's who's that? Pat Rod?
That's Pat Rod.
Pat Rod. I feel it, man. I feel it.
And shout out to Rose. She says, I agree. That interview was shocking.
Yeah, it was shocking. It was shameful. And, you know, the View's got to really, take a look in the mirror. I know this is notion, you know, that all of us.
A rear view mirror?
Yeah. So wait, here comes the Brown Line D.
Okay. Well, the Brown Line's been going every day for the last week. Right. Why are you calling to it now?
Just, you know, the people here going by.
Yeah.
We have this impulse when we're interviewing someone, like you have to ask, quote unquote, the tough question. So let's say, you know, like when Kim Fox was on the show, you have to ask about Smollettgate. Now, the reality is I personally thought Smollettgate was completely overplayed. I thought that it was a manufactured issue. I thought that of all the issues facing the state's attorney in the matter of criminal justice, Smollettgate wouldn't be in the top 20. And yet I have to ask about it. So you have to play that game. Remember when J.B. Pritzker was running for governor? It's one of my favorite examples. And he was proposing a fair tax. And the issue was, how much would the rate be? And that was like the gotcha question. And you had to ask J.B. Pritzker that question. And he was never going to answer it, but you had to ask him the question anyway. So, you know, like to a certain degree, there's parameters that you have to play within when you're interviewing someone. But that said, the bias embedded in her question was just overwhelming. And it seemed like she was, it almost seemed as though when she asked the question, she was justifying the notion that there was something wrong with a healthcare plan for all in the middle of a pandemic. So I don't know, it's a different way of phrasing the question. You know, you could ask, do you think that now that everybody realizes that how vulnerable we all are in the middle of this pandemic, you could get healthcare for all passed? I mean, the other way of asking the question.
And Whoopi Goldberg on The View as well, she asked Bernie the question, why the hell are you even running in the first place? So we'll go ahead and ask you, Ben. We talked about this yesterday. Maybe you've had some time to think about it. We'll ask the live stream chat as well. What's the best Whoopi Goldberg movie?
Wow. The best.
I think you said Ghost yesterday.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? Ghost?
Yes.
Yeah, Ghost with Patrick Swayze, right?
Yep.
And I forget the actress.
Demi Moore. My mom loves that movie.
I like Ghost. I like it. It's got that Righteous Brothers song. I like Ghost. Yeah, it's good. And I like the other one, Sister Act, where she sings.
I'm more of a Sister Act 2 guy. Sister Act 2, I think, is the best Whoopi Goldberg movie. Live stream chat, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg movie? We have some Jumpin' Jack Flash fans out there.
I don't... Is that one where she's the private eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Not that good. No.
All right, aside from Whoopi Goldberg, let's find out what people who have to go outside and do things are up to in Chicago and or Illinois this afternoon. First up, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Today, the mayor is at Chicago Public Safety Headquarters to thank those who supported Chicago's police officers on the front lines of the coronavirus outbreak. Oh, and hey, this news story snuck by us yesterday. Ben, we have a new police chief.
Ladies and gentlemen, join me in welcoming our next superintendent, David Brown.
Come on, Ben. Yes, the following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times, Fran the Woman Spielman, and Sam Charles. Less than 24 hours after she received the names of three, count them three, finalists for the job, Mayor Lori Lightfoot on Thursday announced that she had selected a new Eddie Johnson. It's retired police chief David Brown, and he's the next leader of the Chicago Police Department. Here is a bit from our new superintendent from yesterday's conference.
I am deeply honored and humbled to be standing here today. Like Mayor Lightfoot, I also want to give my personal thanks to Superintendent Beck for his leadership. Thank you, Charlie. But most of all, I want to give my thanks to Mayor Lightfoot for her faith and confidence in me. As you heard from the mayor, my life and career has taken place in the city of Dallas. But the call to service and to rise is one that is heard across the nation. As any police officer will tell you, it's a call that crosses city lines and transcends state borders.
All right. First of all, David Brown, welcome to Chicago from Dallas. And there's a lot of...
You'll love the pizza.
There's a lot of inspiration. And the Brown Line. You'll love the Brown Line. Yeah. We have trains that run in the city of Chicago. You're going to have a lot to learn about Chicago, but already you've demonstrated you've learned something very important about Chicago. The mayor is all powerful. So it's very important to thank the mayor right up at front, okay? I like to thank Lori Lightfoot. You know, he's no dummy, that David Brown.
And, hey, you better learn this one real quick. You can't like both the Cubs and the White Sox. You got to pick one.
Okay, I completely disagree with that one. That's that dumb Chicago stuff. That right there, like, I'm a Southsider. But you're right. Everybody plays that game. You got to like one or the other. People come to you're so right, D.
Yeah.
People come to Chicago and they go, okay, I have to figure this out. And then you're Barack Obama. You figure, which one do I like? First of all, I don't even think Barack Obama really likes baseball. Just throwing that out there, okay? So you got to like one or the other. So politically, you figure out what's the advantageous. I know I'm going to be on the South Side, so I like the South Side team, and everybody will think I'm a real Chicagoan. Lori Lightfoot's playing that game too. She goes, my beloved Sox. She got the little Sox jacket and everything like that, you know. But I like them both, although right now I'm not feeling those Cubs at all because of that Ricketts family. So here you go, David Brown. You really want to make it good with Chicagoans? Rip the Ricketts. Should have done that at the press conference yesterday. I'd like to say a couple things. First of all, I want to thank Lori Lightfoot, a great mayor. She walks on water, ladies and gentlemen. Secondly, I want to say, man, beep those Ricketts. Everybody would love you. That's what you got to learn about Chicago. You got to hate the Ricketts, all right? Tom Tunney, the alderman of the 44th Ward, the happiest thing that ever happened to him was he has the Ricketts as his enemy. Guaranteed re-election. Just run against the Ricketts. Nobody likes the Ricketts in the city of Chicago.
So, David Brown, you better pick one, pal, White Sox or Cubs. If you like the Astros, just don't even mention that. So, White Sox or Cubs, you better not put ketchup on that damn hot dog, pal.
Okay.
And the third thing, you better not go to that bar with the big drinks.
Okay. All right.
Don't go to that bar with the big drinks.
Yeah. Don't be caught in a bar kissing a woman who's not your wife. All right. That's what that's the downfall of Eddie Johnson. All right. But seriously, going back to David Brown, very inspirational story, D. Did you see his background, the story that was laid out in the Sun-Times? Is that part of your news story?
No.
Am I stepping on your
story
there?
No, you're not. Okay. You're not. Go ahead.
Raised by a single mom and his maternal grandparents, he earned a scholarship at the University of Texas at Austin. But he dropped out and took the police exam after his junior year when he returned home for the summer to find his neighborhood disintegrating because crack cocaine had landed like a bomb, the mayor said. All of that showed, quote, David views himself as part of the community. And a source close to the police board search has described Brown's strength as his amazing personal story and his willingness to use that story to connect with citizens. His brother was murdered by drug dealers. His son was killed in a police shootout. His partner died in the line of duty. So David Brown knows a lot about the hardships of life of the people in the neighborhoods that have had the most tenuous relationship, to put it mildly, with the Chicago Police Department over the years. So I really wish him the best of luck. And, I know the challenges are great, but I'm telling you, you're off to a good start praising the mayor. That's very important in the city of Chicago. Praise the mayor, because you're an appointee of the mayor, and no appointee, be it the police department, the board of education, the park district, health department, no appointee can ever allow him or herself to have a higher profile than the person who appoints him or her. So always, always, always praise the mayor. And when you start each press conference, you always got to say, I want to thank the mayor for her great leadership. The mayor's advice has always been very important to me, and she's on top of things. You always got to say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always praise the mayor. And then at some point, realize that the mayor's about ready to throw you under a bus. Well, if it's to the mayor's advantage, and this is particularly the case with police chiefs, if it's to the mayor's advantage, no matter how much you praised him or her, boom, you're gone. Gary McCarthy knows this all too well. Rahm Emanuel. In fact, I can go back a little Gary McCarthy memory. Gary McCarthy was the police chief that Rahm Emanuel selected after a nationwide search. And Rahm loved Gary McCarthy in that first year. like 2012, Gary McCarthy was on the front lines at the during the NATO protests, and everybody was like into Gary McCarthy. And I remember Ron would go to, he went to a White Sox game with Gary McCarthy. Yeah, I'm sitting next to Gary McCarthy. He was like basking in the sun of Gary McCarthy. They were good allies and seemed like they were good friends coming into the Rahm's run for re-election. And I remember in 2015, Rahm did a budget hearing at South Shore Cultural Center, and residents stormed the stage. They were so outraged. There were activist protesters stormed the stage. Rahm had to leave the stage, go out a back door, and Gary McCarthy was leading the way. Remember that? We weren't on a show together then, but that was before we had the show together. Anyway, Gary McCarthy was leading the way. That's how close he was. He was protecting Rahm with his body. About a month later, when the beep hit the fan over the Laquan McDonald video, Rahm Emanuel said, sorry, Gary, see that bus? You're going underneath it. And then the same thing happened with Eddie Johnson when Mayor Lori Lightfoot fired him because he was caught in a bar, as Dennis said, making out with a woman who is not his wife. So, David Brown, best of luck to you. I wish you nothing but the best, but just be warned, more important about Chicago, way more important than ketchup on a hot dog. Feel free to put as much ketchup on a hot dog as you want. One of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Agreed.
I'm from Chicago. I don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
And as a downstate hillbilly, I love ketchup.
Yeah, it's just like so, these things that Chicagoans adopt. I'm not from Chicago, so, you know, I understand that I'm an outsider, so I guess I don't get a say in any of this, D. But the things that Chicagoans adopt, like they love their mayor. Oh, the mayor. The sun rises and sets on the mayor. I never understood that.
You've never adopted that one.
No, I've never adopted that one. Ketchup on a hot dog. I don't like ketchup on a hot dog, but personally, it's not because I'm from Chicago or live in Chicago. It's because I just don't like ketchup on a hot dog. If I like ketchup on a hot dog, I would put it on, whether I lived in Chicago or not. And the whole, I'm from the South Side. I don't like the Cubs. I'm from the North Side. I don't like the Sox. Dumb. Chicago, no dumb stuff that Chicagoans do. So David Brown, don't worry about that stuff. That's all that nonsense stuff made up about Chicago. But the one thing you can't forget in the city of Chicago, the mayor is all powerful. The sun rises and sets on the mayor. Make sure you never forget that, and you'll do okay in the city of Chicago.
And David Brown, maybe write this down, this question here. If someone invites you to go somewhere, just always remember to ask, is that the place with the big drinks?
Stay away from the place. Remember when Maya, another day. Eddie Gate. It was a huge story in the city of Chicago before we were all hunkering down from the pandemic. And I think it was Maya went to the bar and had a few drinks. Remember that?
She
came on the show.
I'm sure she loves that impression you got. All right. And in other city news, for those wondering, speaking of the pandemic, according to Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Lollapalooza is still scheduled for now. By the way, if Lollapalooza still being scheduled was on your plate of concerns at the moment, you're an idiot. I hope we social distance from each other our entire lives. But, Ben Jarofsky, here's a question.
Okay.
It's one I bet a lot of people are actually wrestling with right now, so I'll throw it to you and our live stream audience as well. Don't worry, we're going to answer everybody's favorite Whoopi Goldberg movie question. We're going to get to that too, all right? Okay. But I'm going to throw another question over to the live stream chat as well. After all this is said and done, which depending who you ask is April 30th? Probably not. Probably way longer. But how long, Ben Jarofsky and live stream audience, how long will it be until you decide to attend a crowded public event?
Oh my, that is a great question. Right now, I can't ever imagine going to, by the way, this picture in the Sun Times, it shows interim police superintendent Charlie Beck. That's the guy they brought in from LA when they threw Eddie Johnson under the bus. They brought in Charlie Beck from LA and he's patting David Brown on the back and they're awfully close. What?
Come on, fellas.
Come on, guys. Mixed messaging, okay? Dennis is talking about this all the time. You're sending out different messages. You're not supposed to be patting people on the back during the pandemic. Anyway, how long will it be? A long time. Listen, dude, I got this bad. Everybody knows I've been pretty honest about it. I got my issues with germs. So when I go for my walk, I'm walking down the street, and I see the people coming at me. walk right across the street. Boom, I don't play around, D. Right across the street. Then he go across the street. Uh-oh, someone's coming at you. I feel like Walter Payton. Boom, cut back. And then go to the other street. Uh-oh, here's a guy with a dog. You ever know? Sometimes there's guys with two dogs. That's the whole sidewalk, folks. I got the sidewalk. You're going to have to
damn
go into the
two
street.
Two doggers. What are you doing?
So anyway, it's going to be a really long time
right?
Like, before I overcome the paranoia and, you know, the fear I have. And so, yeah, be a very, very, and the notion of going to Lollapalooza, well, I just never in any way tempted me in a million years.
I mean, you love it, but.
God, I missed that gag. Remember this summer, D? It was like, Ben loves Lollapalooza, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. But no, seriously, me personally, I'm just taking the year off on stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just riding my bike. Because, you know, Lollapalooza could still be scheduled, but will people go? That's the question, right?
I don't know. I just, I can't imagine a world without this coronavirus scare.
You've
know,
always been able to watch Lollapalooza on a live stream. So maybe.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. I watch it every year on live stream.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I've told you that before.
You have?
Yes.
I remember.
A lot of times during that whole bit.
That's all that reefer I smoke.
Wait,
time out. You're telling me that Lollapalooza, people go to Lollapalooza when I could just watch it on TV?
Yeah, for free. His mind is blown. His mind is blown.
Wow. Like, you guys really love crowds. Oh, Ben, you really can't get into it unless you're in the crowd, man.
How long will it be until you attend another public event? Brianna says 6 months at least. People are dirty.
Yeah, people are dirty. And by the way, speaking of Lollapalooza and big events that have been that take place in the summer, the Democrats, did you see this, D? The Democrats have moved back their convention from July to August. You know, this interesting little thing. It's going to take place in Milwaukee. And Joe Biden, I believe, had a hand in making that. You're not the nominee yet, Joe. All right? I know The View has said, Bernie, get out of the race. But The View doesn't determine who the nominee is. Joe Biden said, yeah, let's move it back. Joe Biden is like painting the walls of the White House already.
You know, you give Joe Biden such a hard time. He's a smart guy.
We reassess the recommended period for keeping businesses shut and people at home. Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
Got it? Got that, D?
It's deep.
Hey, Dems, there's your guy. There's your guy, Biden bros.
Shout out to Pat Rod. Pat Rod says, I'll be at my favorite bar the day they open. Oh. But concert-level crowds? I don't know. A year? I'm right there with you, Pat Rod.
Yeah, no, I'm this one is tough. I got to tell you, it's going to be a while. And, you know, I go to Bulls games. I went baseball games, Sox and Cubs. Probably more Sox this year than Cubs because I can't stand the Ricketts. But this is tough. Yeah, it's going to take a while, I think, for me just to overcome the fear and the paranoia. And then there's this, like, there's so much uncertainty. Oh, I shouldn't head down a gloom and doom country, you know, about the pandemic coming back. We think it's over and then it comes back. So, you know what? There's just so much uncertainty over it. And I've gotten so accustomed to the quarantine life, you know, I've gotten so accustomed to just venturing out only when nobody's around, you know. I can't even go to the park, my beloved park. I'm with you, Lori, Mayor Lightfoot. I'm following your orders. I've not gone to the park. I'm not snuck down to the park. But I heard Mark Brown's been sneaking over to that hill. Just saying. No, just kidding. I know he's not doing that.
Kyle says, are crowds considered 10-plus people? I'm an introvert, so my avoidance with crowds will be forever.
Yeah, there's some people who had that going to start with. I'm not a big fan of just the notion of Lollapalooza. Just freaked me out. Just too many people, sweaty bodies packed together. It's just, I would never want to go to Lollapalooza in the first place. But, you know, to each his own. So they're just being really optimistic, Dave, that they think there's even a chance right. They're going to get Lollapalooza in this year. Just a lot of optimism out there. I guess they just think it's too much for people to say they're canceling it.
By the way, Kyle's favorite Whoopi Goldberg movie, The Color Purple.
It's a good movie. Very good movie for 10 trivia points. D, who directed that movie?
Ice Cube.
No. Steven Spielberg.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on here, let's talk some statewide news. It looks like our governor, J.B. Pritzker, is roping in some Illinois celebrities as they are enlisted to urge Illinois residents to stay at home. J.B. Pritzker on Thursday announced a promotional campaign featuring Illinois-centric celebrities encouraging residents to follow his order to stay home throughout April. Ben, they called you, right?
Yeah.
Right. You're on this commercial?
Yeah. I mean, hi, everybody. Benny J here. Stay at home. Here's the brown line.
I mean, they didn't call me. I'm sure they called you, though, right?
Yeah, they called me. I was on the phone all day yesterday with JB. Look, JB, I'd love to help you out, but I'm a very busy guy. I'm going for a walk right now, okay?
Now, I know you're not listed here, but I know you had to have done this, but it says here, All in Illinois features videos from comedian Jane Lynch, Olympic gold medalist and fellow 6'1"-er downstater Jackie Joyner-Kersee, and others. Any people you'd like to see?
Illinois people.
Yeah.
Well, he's not an Illinois person ever, but Michael Jeffrey Jordan, stay at home. He's still probably the number one most popular sports figure in the state of Illinois. In fact, good news. I said this before. I'll repeat it. Their ESPN and ABC has that special on the Bulls. I'm not allowed to talk about sports, but I'm doing it in conjunction with the virus, D, okay? So they've got this special. I think it's a 6-part special about the Bulls of the 90s, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman. And that's releasing. They're releasing it early because everybody's just locked at home. So they're going to have great ratings. So I would say Michael Jordan. I still think Michael Jordan is the most popular sports celebrity having anything to do with the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, even though he doesn't even live here anymore. Although he still has a mansion.
I would love to hear from Lori Metcalf, a.k.a. Aunt Jackie on Roseanne.
Lori Metcalf. Awesome. Yeah. She from Steppenwolf Theater down in Chicago. I don't know. Does she still live in the state of Illinois?
Well, she's from Illinois.
Good enough.
When to expect your $1,200 stimulus check? Well, according to Lynn Sweet in the Chicago Sun-Times, the first payments are tentatively set to go out the week of April 13th. And finally, in statewide news here, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, just like every day for the time being, even on Saturdays and Sundays, Governor J.B. Pritzker will be giving his daily COVID-19 press briefing. Please make sure to watch it, all right? If you're watching on the live stream, we'll try to jump off here after J.B. Pritzker's speech begins. And you know, guys, we're lucky to have a governor who actually gives a crap. If you're in Illinois looking to get informed and only watching Donald Trump press briefings on this, please do yourself a favor. Maybe don't watch those. Get the highlights online and watch Governor Pritzker's daily press briefings if you're looking to get informed. I mean, I'm telling you that. I'm sure you already know. But we talked about the near future of live public events a little bit there. But what about the near future of political campaigning? And specifically, yeah, that big election coming in November. This was actually today's top talker in Illinois Politico from Shia Kapos. And Bennett does raise an interesting question, so let's talk about it here. It says, some political campaigns have to come to a screeching halt due to the coronavirus outbreak, obviously, while others have taken a break from sending out digital solicitations during this time of uncertainty. Residents are scared. The economy's been whacked, and hundreds of thousands of Illinois residents are filing for unemployment. Asking for money can sound a little tone deaf right now, especially if you're a candidate with nearly $7 million in the bank and no challenger in the upcoming general election. Candidates like Democratic Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy. It says here, Democratic Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy has been sending out fundraising emails and text messages to potential donors. He's been doing this for weeks. He's careful to acknowledge the sensitivity of what we're going through, saying, quote, please let us know if we can help you during these challenging times. But the message also wraps up with, can you donate? One Democratic political observer who didn't want to go on the record because they, quote, like Krishnamoorthy.
Well, okay. All right. I'm sorry, Dave.
Don't mention who I am.
But I'll.
One Democratic political observer who didn't want to go on the record because they, quote, like Krishnamoorthy. Yeah, this wimp said that.
Yeah, what a wimp.
The tone of the email is right. It's respectful and acknowledges what's happening in the world. But there's a question about whether he should be doing it at all, given his easy path to victory. Krishnamurthy's hefty bank account allows him to donate to other candidates. He just doled out $250,000 to other congressional campaigns this week. And he's not the only Illinois candidate who's still pushing out fundraising emails, even though they're almost guaranteed to win in November. Democratic Representative Chuy Garcia and Democrat Maureen Newman also have pushed out emails asking for money. They're sensitive in how they address the coronavirus, but they still ask for donations. So, Ben Jarofsky, what say you? In the last 3 weeks, the world has been flipped upside down. What is your take on this in asking for money right now if you're running a campaign?
All right. This is one of my favorite themes. Thank you for addressing this and raising this. First of all, even though it's not directly related to the question you asked, let me just take a moment here. It's like Bernie Sanders answering a question in the debate, right? Oh, I'll get to that question, but I want to talk about what I want to talk about. And then there was always, remember the good old days of the debates? No, answer the question. There was like the really enraged questionnaire. Don't deviate. Anyway, and then the crowd would be yelling at Bernie, because then we later learned that the crowd was filled in with Dems, corporate donors, etc. I know that's a tangent within a tangent. One of my pet peeves are people who don't allow their names to be used on quotes that are, what are you hiding from? The person said, this is just a pet peeve of mine. They didn't want to be identified because what they like, Raja. What is Raja, God? You know what I mean? You can't even mildly criticize the guy. You could say you like him, but I disagree with this. You could say, Raja's a great guy, and I really appreciate the tough questions he asks of Republicans.
Isn't that great? Pandemic, and people are still doing the off-the-record
thing. Off-the-record. You could use this, but don't put my name on it. You know? I mean, I feel as though our public schools should give classes in learning to speak publicly. In other words, you should teach people how to say things in such a way that you don't offend necessarily, but you get your point across. Don't be afraid to speak. But now it's true. So many powerful people have such thin skin. Lori Lightfoot has thin skin. All right. And so you got to really worry. David Brown, going back to you, police chief, never, ever, ever say anything bad about Lori Lightfoot. So maybe, I don't know, I've had Raja on the show. He seems like a nice guy, but maybe behind the scenes he's a tyrant, So who knows? But it just seems so wimpy, and it undercuts the integrity of what you're saying. Don't quote me on that. And then it's so mild. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't know. It's acceptable to have a difference of opinion with Raja on the issue of solicitations. All right, two solicitations. The world goes on. People need money. Campaigns need money. So you have to ask for it. And so I think it's, I don't think there's anything tremendously wrong with asking for campaign contributions during a pandemic, particularly since the Democrats are essentially in hand-to-hand combat with Donald Trump and the Republicans. And this is my main point. In that piece, the Politico, who did the story? Shia did the story?
Yep.
That piece was concentrating on Democrats who are doing this. I'd like to point out Republicans do this all the time. And I say this, somehow or other, I got on the Tea Party mailing list, and now I'm on a bunch of mailing lists. Emails come in every day. In fact, when you started doing that, just took a look. I have two solicitations that have come to my email address in the last half hour, however we've been on the air, from the Tea Party. I get solicitations from Mitch McConnell. He's desperate, folks. Mitch McConnell, the Senate president, senator from Kentucky, in a re-election battle against Amy McGrath and the Democrats. He's on the ropes. He is desperate. I get daily emails from Mitch McConnell going, we didn't make our fundraising goals. We didn't make our fundraising goals. Help, help. And they get the Republican Party. They send me emails every day. Chuck Schumer is outraising us. Chuck Schumer is out. Now they're like trying to scare me of all people into giving money to them. When I see that, I don't know what to do. I'm like, part of me thinks they're just messing with my mind. You know what I mean? They're just trying to like use fear to get people to contribute to the party. So I don't take it serious. On the other hand, I'm like optimistic. Wow. There's a desperate tone to what they're saying. Maybe they are on the ropes. Maybe the Democrats will prevail in November, like Monroe Anderson says. So that's Mitch McConnell. Newt Gingrich Newt Gingrich is sending out text messages, or excuse me, emails all the time. We need help to take back Congress. He's all about, Mitch McConnell's all about holding on to the Senate for Republicans. Newt Gingrich is all about taking back Congress from the Democrats. Donald John Trump Jr., baby Trump. He's always sending me emails. Daddy needs help. And he's too desperate. Lately, he's been desperate, D. They're not making their goals. They're not meeting their fundraising goals. Kevin McCarthy, a congressman from California. He sends me emails, fundraising emails. So on one hand, I know it seems, insensitive in the moment of pandemic when we're all locked in and there's fear and we're afraid and there's people whose lives are literally at stake on the front lines, those healthcare workers, to be thinking of something like a political campaign. But the reality is the political campaign's in November. The Democrats at a disadvantage. The Republicans control the Senate. They control the Supreme Court. They control the presidency. They have their own news network that pumps out propaganda for them around the clock, Fox. They have a built-in audience of 45% that will follow Donald Trump off a cliff no matter what he does, no matter what he says. So they have a huge advantage, and they have a huge advantage in fundraising right now. So you could pretend as though, this is my problem, goes back to Dems, you could pretend as though, oh, we have to play by the rules. We're just one nation. I believe
sounds like a ghost.
This is the Dems. These are Biden bros. Ben, you don't understand. Swing voters in Wisconsin will be offended if they know that you're being engaged in politics. Meanwhile, here comes these Biden bros. It's okay to say Biden bros, yes. Not Bernie bros. While these Biden bros are sending me these emails, I'm getting solicitations from Newt Gingrich. We're in danger of losing that, of not gaining the House back. I get emails from Donald John Trump Jr. Help Daddy. By the way, they're selling hats and mugs. I used to get these emails to say, hurry. During the pandemic, folks. I haven't seen one in a couple days, but during the pandemic. You can still get your Donald Trump mug. Just contribute X amount of money. And then I get these emails, D, where people are saying, we haven't heard from you. You're in danger of being off our mailing list.
You've never heard from me.
I know. In danger? Please take me off the mailing list. So anyway, this is my response. It's sort of like the fair map thing. I would say all Democrats should cease solicitations over the internet when Republicans do it. But Republicans aren't doing it. So if Democrats want to play by the rules, they want to be sensitive to the concerns of voters who may be offended by solicitations, and they just want to do the right thing, go ahead. Don't do solicitations. Just lose the elections. It's a typical thing. The rules apply to Democrats, but they don't apply to Republicans. So I'm saying, Raja, keep on doing it. Whatever. When Mitch McConnell stops, Raja can stop.
All right, Ben, let's do a little scenario here.
That's my opinion.
I'm going to pretend I'm calling you up here, and you just give me an answer here. Are you going to answer the phone?
Hello.
Hi, Ben Jarofsky, Raja Krishnamoorthy here. I was wondering if you can donate some money to help out our campaign.
Sorry, call Dennis. He's got more money than I do. Doctor. Call the doctor. He's got tons of money. Did you know that Dennis is a wealthy podcaster?
You're a filthy liar.
No, man. And the funny thing is, I've said this already. I get Raj's solicitations. I get them. And they come in my wife's name. It's one of the little curious quirks about fundraising appeals. Somehow or other, he thinks my wife is at my email. Not that he himself is doing that. And you're right. Raja will never lose an election. I mean, he's unbeatable. So he's just amassing this fortune. He's going to be the king of the Northwest Side and the Northwest suburbs. Just doling out money. Anyway,
any politicians out there listening, I will never give any of you money. I don't care who you are. Okay. Shout out to the meanest Illinois political bulldog in the yard. The one, the only Rich Miller of Capital Facts. People go check Capital Facts out if you're looking for some good Illinois news. Looks like he posted here something that Lori Lightfoot is doing at the moment. This is about an hour ago. It looks like Lori Lightfoot has taken to Twitter. She's doing Q&As. So you ask Lori Lightfoot a question, and she will video her answer, and then she tweets it. So we have some examples here. Let's see if we can play some of them. Okay. Let's see here. Like I said, this is on Twitter. Go check this out. She answers some questions here. And the first question, hashtag ask Mayor Lightfoot. The question is, my daughter and her roommates, all but one, were laid off due to this crisis. Can their landlord forcibly evict them right now, although they are able to pay rent on a month to month, with all of a sudden excuse that no pets are allowed? That's the question here. So let's go for Lori's answer.
Regarding evictions, I know this is a very tough time for people, particularly with the first of the month here, and folks are worried about whether or not they're going to be able to make rent or make their mortgage payments. But we took action and didn't wait. We set up a $2 million fund that's available for folks who are suffering through rent concerns or mortgage concerns. You can find out information about that by going to the city's Department of Housing and look on their website to find out how you might qualify for assistance. I'm also heartened that early on, Sheriff Tom Dart said no evictions that he was going to enforce through April 30th. There's more that we're working on, and we know that this is a serious issue, but I'm calling on all banks that hold mortgages, all landlords. This is a time of need. Show your renters, show your mortgage holders some grace, and give people a chance to weather the storm without worrying about whether or not they're going to have a place to lay their head. Please, we all have to be in this together, and that means banks and landlords also have to step up. If you can give some space and forbearance so that people don't have to pay their rent for the month of April, we need to do that.
Encouraging words from Mayor Lightfoot.
Yeah, and that's the right tone, I think, and so I get her credit for that. But Maya was on the show on Tuesday, and we were going through this. We're going through the laws, and the reality is, even though the sheriff is not enforcing evictions, there can still be a case filed against you for not paying your rent, as Maya pointed out. So I think Lori is absolutely correct. Mayor Lightfoot, I should say, is absolutely correct to urge landlords to show a little grace. That's a good way of phrasing it at this time of need. But the reality is they can still file a case against you electronically, even though the courthouse is closed. And then people will wake up, let's say, in June when this is passed and realize they're facing eviction proceedings. So the reality is one thing and the request is another. But she's asking people to do the right thing and can't always count on people to do the right thing.
So now, I know Ben mentioned I'm filthy rich, so what I usually do when it comes to rent, I typically wait about 10 days anyway, so I'm just doing what I normally do and waiting to see what happens.
Let's see wait 20 days and see what happens, if they even notice. Sometimes it's good to fly under the radar, D, you know what I'm saying? Fly under the radar.
That's my entire life. All right, we got one more question.
I like these Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah, this is
questions.
A really cool thing that she's doing here. This one a little more lighthearted. Everybody knows in the last 2 weeks they've seen the Lori Lightfoot memes after she scalded the citizens of Chicago for going out to the lakefront. Memes have been everywhere of her just standing there. They asked her, let's see here. It says, question, do you have a favorite meme of you that people have made? We've seen the lighter side of Lori Lightfoot lately. Here's her answer.
So the question is about which meme that I like. I got to tell you, I love them and keep them coming. They're funny. It's hard to pick one, so I won't. I'll pick a couple. I like the Last Supper one. I like the one of me popping up in the refrigerator. And I like the Wheel of Fortune one. I won't repeat what the answer is, but it's pretty funny. And of course, I like the one of me being beamed my face over the skyline. I do feel like I have a responsibility to watch over the whole city. So that really captures my sentiment precisely. So thank you, and thanks for the creativity.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Good sense of humor by Lori Lightfoot. And it's moments like this that you know, I can appreciate strong leadership from a mayor. Although I teased her last week, if you recall, Dee, when she was scolding Chicagoans for going to the lakefront, I was pointing out that, well, you know, you didn't exactly head off this disaster by this potential disaster by looking at your weather app to see that it was a beautiful day the next day. Just had to tease her a little bit. But she's done a good job. You know, by the way, Dee, I don't know if you know this, but this is 1 year anniversary. I saw that in my beloved Bright One. Chicago Sun-Times had a story that it's been 1 year since Lori Lightfoot was elected mayor. God dang, the year has gone fast. And I believe that this is her finest moment so far. I was not a huge Lori Lightfoot fan during the school strike. I think we all know that. I was very critical of her. She's not as progressive as I would have liked to have seen. Did not applaud her on the Lincoln Yards deal. But I have to say, over the last 2 weeks, she's really she's done a great job, in my humble opinion, of getting the message out about the need to social distance, you know, and also showing a sense of humor and rolling with the punches, all these memes. So good job, Lori Lightfoot. Happy 1 year anniversary. And thank you for looking out for us or being with us in this moment of crisis. How about that, Dee?
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Okay. So there you are, everybody. Yeah. We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, our cannabis conversations continues. It's Lisa Solomon with a gentleman named Stephen Goff. Ben, you talked with Stephen a little bit before the interview. What do you think it's so far? What are we going to talk about here?
Vaping.
Oh.
You know, people are indulging. We'll talk a little bit about how many the sales. People are man. Legalized reefer was right on time, Dee. Right on time. It's amazing to think how much the conversation has shifted. I used to talk about, I can't believe we're even discussing legalization of reefer, or excuse me, of cannabis, given the fact that about 10 years ago, no politician would dare to, oh my God, didn't. Just thinking back to that conversation we just had where you know, she had quoted the politician saying, don't quote me by name, but, you know, and I dare to criticize Raja a little bit. It was about 10 years ago that politicians would say to me, Ben, don't quote me. You know, I'd like to smoke a joint every now and then, but I don't know. I don't know I don't want to be too far ahead of the voters on this. And so now not only is it legal, but people are embracing it. There's a movement to get delivery services in Illinois. We're really rapidly moving into the era of reality, which is that people use marijuana, cannabis, reefer, whatever you want to call it, to deal with the pains of life. So we'll be talking about that with Lisa Solomon.
All right, everybody, get ready. Lisa Solomon, Stephen Goff coming up. Our cannabis conversation series continues. It's the Ben Jarofsky Show, live from Ben's house.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.